The recordings have started.
Thank you. Would you like a quick roll call, Barry?
Sure, for the recording, please.
Good morning, good afternoon to everyone. On today's EOC call, we have Mike Rodenbach, James Bledel, Barry Cobb, Mike O'Connor. From staff, we have Marty Milam and Gisela Gruber-White, myself. No apologies. And if I could just remind everyone, please, to state their names. Thank you.
Great. This is Barry Cobb. Thank you, Gisela. All right, let's go ahead and get started for today. Basically, our agenda is to review through kind of our first draft of the recommendations report out as a team. And I imagine that that'll take up pretty much the full hour. I sent that out last night, and I hope everybody had a chance to at least just kind of browse through it real quickly, and we'll get into some of the details here in a minute. So I'll start off by saying just a couple of comments, and then we'll kind of open up the floor for general discussion, and then I'd like to kind of just jump into the recommendations report. We'll kind of go page by page until we get to the meat of it, which is basically kind of our what I labeled as guiding principles and recommendations. So first and foremost, you know, I guess up until Seoul, I was oblivious or, for whatever reason, unaware about some of the activities that the .info and .org guys were doing relative to trying to combat abuse, specifically, as we touched on in the other working group, the malicious session that had Adam's presentation of what they did at PIR was, I don't know, a big revelation to me, because it seemed to really just that his presentation perfectly aligned with almost the structure of the overall working group, let alone just relative to this sub-team of uniformity of contracts. And with that presentation, it just, from my perspective, it became very clear to me why, you know, as some of the recommendations out of this team shouldn't go ahead and leverage what is already being done out there. And by my read of that effort, it sounded like it was very successful. While it may not be perfect, but certainly they saw great successes in their methods and the model that they chose to follow. So what that prompted me to do is kind of, in some ways, I kind of structured this recommendations report around that, or at least the recommendations themselves are kind of keying off of what's already being done out there. And that certainly prompted me to reread the issues report that was developed by ICANN staff that kicked all of this off. And after rereading it, I realized, you know, that a lot of what we're talking about is already included in there. So, you know, there's certainly a mention of the .info and .org efforts, which is a good thing. So at any rate, kind of some general comments. Plan for today, like I said, let's kind of review through this document page by page. We'll solicit feedback. Specifically, we'll target in on the principles, the recommendations that's listed in there, and the questions that we still need to try to answer as a team to complete this report. At the end of the call, I'll send out a revised version. I went ahead and started from the version that you have right now. I've already made a couple of updates, but I'll send out a revised version at the end of this call, and I'll basically, with exception of Appendix 4, I'll stop making any changes. But I'd like to give the team up until Friday at noon to provide specific feedback, especially in the areas that we didn't have a chance to cover on this call today. I'll incorporate all of those changes into a final draft, not a final draft, but the next draft that I'd like to be able to post up on the wiki by close of business Friday or sometime over the weekend per Greg's due date that he assigned us. So that's basically all the comments I had. I'll open up the floor for some quick comments, and then shortly after that, we'll go reviewing through the report. one.
This is Mikey.
Go for it, Mikey.
Well, as usual, you undersell your documents pretty dramatically. I was sort of expecting something quite a bit worse than this when I opened it up. I'm pretty blown away by this here. It's a pretty good job.
Well, I would just counter with that there's probably more lipstick, and it's still it's still a pig in the pen, if you will. So I will say that as you'll probably take note through much of the content here, I'm certainly not the best writer in the world. So I really am leaning on the others that are much better writers to kind of help me with some of the content. But hopefully we're kind of all going down the same path with this.
It looks great to me. I mean, you know, there's plenty to talk about, but, this is a monumental effort. More kudos for Barry, I'm going to mute the stupid phone's going nuts.
But it's Mike Rodenbaugh. I just echo. It's a great start. I think you got a lot of good content in here, Barry. I'm sure others have some people have a lot of us have some changes we'd like to see, but we should just get into it. Get a draft done on the schedule that that Greg set if we can.
Okay, great. James, any comments real quick?
Nope. Let's go ahead.
All right, cool. All right, well, let's go ahead and start on basically page 2, which is the issue and background. This structure is the template that's being used by the overall working group across some of the other sub-team breakouts that have been going or been developed so far. Issue section, other than a couple of bullet points, I haven't really developed that section yet, but at least within the team right now, I think we know what the issue is, and I'll certainly add more content to develop that section. If any of you guys have any ideas or some language that will nail down what this issue is, I'm all ears. And if not, we'll go ahead and move on into background.
Barry, I mean, I think you've done it down below where you're quoting the charter and all. I mean, that's really what the issue is pretty well defined there, I would say.
Okay. All right, well, I'll make, because it is a formalized section, I'll make reference to refer to the background for more details, I guess.
Or just bring some of it out, or, just kind of tease it out of the background. You can restate it if you want, but you don't even need to do that. And just copy it as a brief issue. Maybe also the broader charter of the entire working group, some of the whereas statements from the council resolution that formed the working group, that might have some good content in it for you too.
Okay, cool. Okay, any other comments about the issue section?
This is James. Similar to what Mike was saying, in fact, might even just consider merging those two and just calling it, background and issues or something like that, and just having that as one section, because I think it's fairly comprehensively covered.
Yeah, exactly. Don't spend a whole lot of time on it, because this is eventually going to get merged into a larger report that will frame the issues anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is
very
Mike
good.
Reed. I'm on with that, too.
Okay, great. Next section, so background. The charter, which is just content that I think Marika had given us at the beginning of when we started this sub-team. And it was basically just pulled out of the overall working group charter. Uniformity of contracts team, that's us. And then moving into a timeline, just kind of felt that was kind of necessary so people can grasp how much effort has been put into this. Then moving into the any questions up before we get into the agreement landscape diagram? Okay, cool. the agreement landscape diagram. I built this the other night because it's, for whatever reason, I don't know why I'm not an artist, but I feel like I have to have a picture with a bunch of words. It's kind of been one of the downers about my experiences at ICANN so far, is it's all words for the most part. But anyway, I needed to have a diagram to kind of help shape or put some reference or context around what we were trying to address. And sure enough, after reviewing another presentation at ICANN, I think it was part of maybe the DNSSEC somewhere in there, I found the exact same diagram practically. But the idea here is just to illustrate that there's four primary agreements within the scope or realm of ICANN's span of control. And that's the first one being the registry agreements that are set up. Within the registry agreements, there is dispersion here, but there is typically an RRA template within that registry agreement that's used to set up the agreements between the registrar and the registry itself. Then you also have the agreement between ICANN and the registrar. And then lastly, you have the registration agreement between the registrant and the registrar. And then outside of those four agreements, there are other agreements out there, such as terms of service, privacy policy, and then specifically at the registry level, terms of agreement and or terms of a service between themselves and the registrar. Anybody, am I missing? And then also on the top right-hand corner, I also put the applicant guidebook version 3 because there is a section in there relative to malicious conduct. I haven't made it to that section or really fleshed that out yet, but it is an entity that warrants attention or at least notice within this sub-team. So the question I have about the diagram here is, am I missing anything? Should we change it? Is it confusing? Thoughts?
This is James. And I hesitate to even mention this, but I think one possible omission is it's a controversial topic, but it's the relationship between registrars and resellers.
And
yes.
Mikey, I think it's worth sticking that in if we can figure out a way to do it.
And if we can do it in such a way that, you know, doesn't take away from the existing diagram.
Yeah.
Okay, my question would be is, I've never seen an agreement between a registrar and a reseller. I'm sure that there is some sort of one out there.
There is.
So
check out the Wild Wild West domain.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, very reputable.
Yeah, something like what? Fifth largest registrar in the world, right?
Yeah.
Like that.
Something like that.
And also, Two Cows should have that agreement pretty handy.
Yeah, I think their reseller only or wholesale model should give us pretty quick access to their reseller agreements.
Yeah, I don't know if we could get ENOMS. That would be the other major one. They have a Julia. So.
I'm sure it's all public. It's pretty much anybody can be a reseller with any of those people. So.
Now, are these reseller agreements, they aren't sanctioned by ICANN, correct?
Well, that's a good question. I think that they are not, but there are some provisions in the 2009 RAA that provide some guidance, if not, and maybe Mike or Mikey can chime in here, but some guidance, if not actual language, that needs to carry forward into those agreements.
Yeah, that's right. This is Margie. The 2009 agreement has specific language that resellers should have in their agreements. So it's kind of an indirect relationship, if you will. There's no provision specifically between ICANN and resellers, but there's some mention of what should be in a reseller agreement.
Right, but ICANN binds the registrars by contract to bind the resellers by contract with the terms of the RIA, basically.
That's right.
Okay, so in terms of modifying this diagram, I'll put a little people icon to the right of the registrar and show a document in between that relationship, which is the registrar reseller agreement. So little r, little ra. And then I can also maybe put a dotted line from the RRA document icon to the little RA icon, showing that it does have some relationship or that there is a content there. Would that make sense?
Yeah, Barry, the dotted line should originate with the RAA, not the RRA.
Okay, yes. All right, cool. All right, perfect. So, all right, I'll make that modification then. Yeah, I think
okay.
That would be good. Okay, any other comments about the diagram?
Beautiful.
Okay. Oh, this is Mikey.
Mike.
Just a comment that I love pictures, so I think this is a great trend.
Do you do this yourself or do you find this somewhere?
No, I built it myself, and like I said, I found another presentation where somebody kind of did it the same way. It's not as pretty as mine, but, you know, it was the same. Plus, I took it to the next level of, you know, including the Internet user and terms of service and privacy policies that, you know, they would experience. But
Barry, you never cease to amaze me. Right on.
And, Barry, I guess this is James. The only other thought I would have is, and I don't want to sound like an art critic, I think this is amazing. using the horizontal space a little bit more, because I think that when you add the reseller and more of those chains down there, you run the risk of eclipsing your chart. So maybe possibly putting the registry and registrar further width away so that you wouldn't have to use such a small font on some of these documents. Mike,
okay.
Be helpful, because I had to blow it up just to be able to, you know, oh, I see what he's talking about there. So.
Okay. All right. I'll expand that out.
Now let me take a note of that.
Yeah. In fact, Barry, I know that it's in the chart below, but there's a little...
Maybe include a little legend?
Well, either a legend or actually, you know, in addition to the abbreviation, actually have the words. And one way to approach that would be to take a whole page for this picture, rotate
okay.
it horizontally, make it all a little bit bigger. I think that this is one of those, you know, I love reports where the whole report is visually captured on one page, because it's a great talking document. And I think that this is a really useful diagram for lots of people. And so it could occupy a whole page. And with a whole page, then you'd have room to put the names of the agreements in addition to the abbreviations on there.
Okay.
And one of the reasons I'm so keen on this is because, just as you were captivated by that other presentation, I think it's great to have a picture that shows all the contracts that are involved and the relationships between the players. So I think it's worth the page landscape to make it a little bit bigger and put a little more stuff in there.
10-4, will do. Cool. All righty. Now let's kind of move into some of the real meat. Dispersion finding section. This table, my intent here was to try to create a quick summary to show all the dispersion across the varying contracts. For the purposes, and this is where I guess the road starts to get a little bit slippery, is the UOC team here and the dispersion, you know, research that we created really only targeted the registrar component of the community. We didn't really touch on any of the other agreements within the scope of this sub-team. Fortunately, I don't know why I kind of spaced out on it, but fortunately a lot of the other groundwork had been done for registry agreements, the RRAs, and then I just did a kind of a quick synopsis on the RAA. So my intent here was to try to show that, you know, we've kind of covered our bases in the agreement landscape, and yes, there's pretty big dispersion out there. So that's kind of the takeaway of this table. I know that I definitely need to work on the summary comments column for each one of these. So any comments or, you know, better wordsmithing after this call would be very much helpful. So I won't necessarily go through line item by line item of summary here. And so I'll just ask any comments or questions about the table in of itself. Otherwise, I'll just reserve it for specific comments that you might want to send back after the call. Or edits, I should say.
This is Mikey. Sort of an editing note. One thing you might do, this sort of goes with the make the picture be a whole page comment. You might force a page break on that table so that the table is also a full page. I think that, you know, if you were to were limited to one piece of paper,
okay,
those two might be the pieces of paper front to back, the diagram on one side and this table. He said, well, what did you do over the last 6 months, Barry? I think that's two pages that you'd probably hand him.
Okay, cool deal. And I think I lied to you. The first four rows, I would like to briefly just read over the, or not read over, but I'll talk about kind of the rationale for the summary comments. So starting with row one, the registry agreement, definitely within the issues report, the ICANN staff, and I'm not really sure who authored all of that or the entire team that was included, but the takeaway that you get from the issues report relative to the registry agreements, the way that it's structured, it also includes the RRA because in some of the registry agreements it's an actual template, but the takeaway there is that, you know, there is significant variance across both of those agreements. And specifically, even those registry agreements that include an RRA template, there's very minimal language in there relative to abuse definitions or indemnification of fighting said abuse. So that's kind of the takeaway for those first two rows. My thought here is that, you know, I'm trying to refer them down to the appendices to go get, if they really want to dive into the details and try to prove it's wrong about the dispersion, they can go into the details of the issue report. So I didn't really want to recreate the wheel here.
Hey, Barry, this is James.
Yes.
Yeah, I just had another thought here, and I don't know if it applies to this chart more appropriately or the diagram, but there's another possible element that we might want to find a way to shoehorn into this discussion, which is the registry service request. I think that
what's that? What is that? I don't even know what that is.
Or funnel request, or I don't know what some of the other nicknames for it are, but essentially it's a, whether it's a document or an agreement, it's a mechanism by which a registry can define and introduce a new service or new practice that you know. I'm thinking specifically of some that were addressing abuse, particularly in .info. I think about a year ago.
Thank you, James. Maybe I can help a little bit.
Yeah, if you could, Mike, jump in there.
Mike, so you're talking about the R-step process with two S's, I think, and that was a consensus policy that allows registries to propose additional registry services that ICANN allow them to, you know, conduct those services. And Info did go through the R-step to get approval of their anti-abuse policy. PIR did not. And it's curious as to, you know, why not? Who's right? do people need to or do they not need to?
Right.
That's something that we should look at.
But, you know, that in and of itself, Mike, is a good example of variance, right? Because we have two registries that essentially use different methods to...
I'm not sure whether the language in their contracts was the same or not. I know, obviously, org is quite a bit older than info, so I'm not sure about the contract language, if there was any difference there. I did ask Adam about it in Seoul, and he just said that they didn't feel they needed to go through. That's Adam Palmer of PIR. He just said that they didn't feel like they needed to go through the RCEP, even though affiliates had done it.
Right. Is the RCEP consensus, was that a recent thing, or how long ago did this come out?
No, it's 3 or 4 years old.
And so I guess, James, I'm still a little bit fuzzy about this. So in terms of the context of this RCEP process and defining a new service, that could be a platform by which registries could create a countermeasure, for lack of a better word, against abuse?
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I think that, visually, I think it would probably be a sidecar to the RA that you have between the registry and ICANN. It could be seen as an probably going to jumble the terminology a little bit, but it could be seen as an addendum or modification to the RA, in that they go and they, after the fact, through the course of the policy development or the RCEP development process, they would actually make some material changes to how they conduct their registry. So,
yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think that maybe the contract language was different between the two, but that'd be interesting to figure out. It wouldn't take long. But I think that org has a general language that the registry can, you know, take any action it deems necessary to ensure the security and stability of the registry. And so they develop their policy, you know, basically under that broad language.
Right.
Whereas
affiliates
either didn't have that broad language, although I think they do, I think they just didn't feel as comfortable with it.
Right. Both do have that broad language, and that's really the basis for recommendation one here, which we'll get into in a minute. So, all right, I'll add a row and look into this RCEP process. I'll do a quick compare between .info and .org and add that in here, just and then include it on the diagram as well.
Sure. So just to follow up, this is Margie. I think what you're saying is that might be one approach to deal with the malicious abuse is to recommend that there's an RCEP submitted by the registry. Is that, James, what you're essentially saying?
I think the thrust of my point is that that's another area that can cause a lack of uniformity in the agreements or the provisions between the registry and ICANN, is what registry services or RCEPs may be applied for and accepted.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
how
and
to
I think
that cleanly, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's a good approach. I mean, I think it's an addition that's worth mentioning.
I mean, I think that PIR probably had it right, and they don't have to go through the RCEP process. And we probably, if we took an opinion on it, I hope that would be what our opinion is, that, you know, registries should be encouraged to take steps to secure their services without having to go to ICANN for approval every time.
Right, but then you have the precedent that, that's, you know, kind of what Info did, so we should capture it somewhere, I think, because you have that one instance already.
That's right.
Well, this is Mikey, and then another sort of a counter view to that is that if registries are allowed to essentially bolt on abuse measures at their own discretion, then what we're doing is we're introducing even more dispersion, and to the extent that dispersion is a problem. So some registries are very secure, some aren't, and registrants way down at the end of that chain may have no clue which ones are more secure and which ones are less. I think that there is a counter-argument that says it would be nice to have at least some mechanism to communicate that dispersion to people, if not reduce the dispersion itself.
I think you make a really good argument as to dispersion in the sense that there's no minimums, no level minimums. But as far as if we set a level minimum and then allow people to exceed it, I don't see this the issue.
I think that if we did that, maybe where I'm headed with this is that if we set a minimum and we allow people to quickly and flexibly exceed that minimum, what we want to tie with that is also a mechanism to communicate those differences to the registrants.
Well, I think that's a great idea, and to share it with registrars and registries as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. I think we're starting to borderline on kind of the recommendation, so let's jump through this. We've got about 25 minutes left. So rows 3 and 4 that talk about the RAA and the registration agreement. The RAA, like I said, that one's pretty easy. Basically, it's a template. The mate... you'll find some of my more details down in Appendix 3 about how I claimed that there was dispersion found, even though I said not directly. But it's pretty straightforward. There's very minimal language in the May 2009 RAA. It really only touches on things like UDRP, privacy policy, and one other kind of category that we had defined in our other dispersion matrix, but it's certainly on the radar about the gaps that the RAA has relative to abuse. It's there's not only the recommendations that we might come up with out of the working group here, but we also have the RAA working group out there as well that is already identified through a presentation that I saw at Seoul that they see gaps, that there's no malicious conduct language, and a bunch of other topics. So in terms of covering the basis on row 3 and 4, I think we're certainly covered. And then the last few, terms of service, terms of use, privacy policy, AG version 3, I included those there just to kind of to alert people to the fact that, when we start getting down to this level, that's where the dispersion is the greatest. Some registrars call it a registration agreement. Others call it a terms of service because they also provide hosting, and they'll nest their registration agreement within their terms of service. And, so it's all over the board down there. And then my further takeaway from that is that we really didn't get to that granularity level. We really stopped at the registration agreement for the most part. Next, I think maybe is page 4, which is kind of like the conclusions and guiding principles. This section here is more or less taken from our October 5th meeting notes and discussions that we had out of that, and a combination of what I had in the PowerPoint deck that went with the dispersion presentation that we gave to the working group. And I don't know whether we should include this or not, but I just wanted to try to prep people for the recommendations that we came up with, and this is kind of the boundaries that we set for ourselves. So the first one, basically I was just going to have a couple of sentences about how we came up with our conclusions and guiding principles. And then there's three basically main principles here. First is relative to dispersion and consistency. We acknowledge that uniformity does not exist out in the marketplace, basically across RAs, RRAs, RRAs, and RA agreements. We do believe that increased uniformity is important, that it helps promote equal competition, We recognize that perfect uniformity is not realistic, but we should, you know, kind of strive for it where it's feasible. And then the second bullet is, the, you know, basically the takeaway here, if the more the policies are consistent, the greater responsibility lies to ICANN to consistently enforce those policies. Thoughts, comments around dispersion and consistency?
This is Mikey. Maybe we add a third chunk to that, which is something along the lines of transparency. It's back to the comment that in the dialogue that Mike and I just had, that, you know, we like uniformity, especially in the minimums. We want to promote and encourage and stand out of the way if a registry wants to exceed those minimums. But to the extent that they do, quickly and transparently let everybody else know what those differences are, so that ultimately, you know, registrars and then ultimately registrants are easily well informed of the differences.
There's communications
lag on that I guess I'm keen on. Go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no problem. I mean, it's definitely a good point, but also it really can only go so far. I mean, obviously we want registries and registrars to do other things that they don't inform the public about, you know, in detail also, like many of them do now. So we got to be careful how we craft that language.
I think that the goal in my mind is, you know, I don't think that inconsistency in and of itself is terribly, I don't like it, but I don't think it's terrible. But I think inconsistency that's unknown is a problem.
Well, it's a problem we have today then, for sure.
Yeah, right. And, you know, that's part of the reason we're all working hard on this, because I think we all agree that today's circumstance isn't the greatest. And so I'm trying to get at a way. I mean, I agree with your notion that registries shouldn't have to reveal all of their secrets to the bad guys. But at the same time, I also want more knowledge dispersed to registrars and registrants about all this. Because,
well, I agree completely. We just need to figure out how to draft that.
Yeah.
And
okay, well, go ahead, James.
Well, you know, I wanted to keep this point, and I don't know if I'm building on what Mike was discussing or if this is a separate point, so I'll just put it out on the table. But I think that making a statement that uniformity is desired is maybe too leading to the conclusion that the inconsistency or dispersion of agreements is a cause of abuse. But I think I'd feel more comfortable saying that it complicates mitigation efforts. And I don't know if we can work that in there elegantly or if it's just going to encumber this this section. But I think that that's the point that we want to get across, is that in and of itself, dispersion is not a predicate for abuse. It is simply something that, you know, complicates the coordinated mitigation approach. Does that make any sense, guys? I'm stumbling over that.
I mean, I think part of it's mitigation, but I think part of it is also essentially the reduction of risk to the various players. If you don't know the landscape, you might walk into a buzzsaw that you wouldn't have walked into had you known what was going on. And so, it, you know, that gets back to that transparency thing, too. And I think also there's probably, you know, back to the funnel process. I think that we do need to clarify sort of once and for all whether what the process is by which registries can introduce abuse reduction measures. Is it through the funnel process or not? So that, you know, to the extent that we can, part of this is about making these processes more predictable. So I think, you know, I think we've got some work ahead of us in terms of crafting some of those ideas. I don't think any of us are disagreeing with each other, but we do have to, as Mike points out, we have to be careful to word this in such a way that we don't tie the hands of the good guys.
Well, I guess to kind of move on briefly is taking a look at the next little section, which is the APB, the Abuse Provision Baseline. And I'll just read through this real quick and then, or highlight, read through the highlights, but then circle back. So, you know, basically we agree that, you know, some sort of uniformity should be implemented, and a minimal baseline is probably the best method to accommodate that. But the second bullet is really what you, I think you were talking about, Mikey, is, you know, the lowest common denominator, some sort of minimum requirement approach with abuse provisions is best and allows the market participants to not be constrained by exceeding that minimum. And then I think, Mikey, you wanted to tack on to that is further to that is there needs to be an element of transparency that we let the customers know that there is this difference or this exceeding the minimum, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Carefully worded, acknowledging Rodenbaugh's point.
Okay. All right, so the next little part about kind of the guiding principle behind the APB is, you know, we want general enough language that provides broad powers to act against all kinds of abuse, as opposed to the other end of the spectrum is very specific language that could be limiting and has, I think, in some references not been proven as successful and certainly is not as adaptive to changing market conditions or abuse is out there. So, you know, our kind of another sub-goal to that is finding the right balance of language that would provide the adequate authority to respond to abuse while at the same time providing the adequate protection or indemnification, which I think was very important to you, James, and for the registrar community. If this is something new you guys are going to be doing, you need that kind of protection. So ultimately, you know, this is we're trying to look for a one-size-fits-all. If we can get it, that's great, but that might not, that may be overambitious. And, again, just touching on, you know, language that can identify a market participant acting in good faith to combat, you know, the said abuses.
What do you mean by one-size-fits-all, maybe a dream?
Well, I guess I'm saying that loosely because any kind of minimum baseline that we come up with, can it be used at the RA? Can it be used at the RRA? Can it be used within the little RA? Or can it be used within the RAA? And I'm the furthest person that needs to be writing contract language, so I don't know if that minimum best baseline can accommodate all the different business models. So we might have to tweak that minimum baseline some. But I don't know.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. But obviously we should start with, you know, what we have. You know, there are good acceptable use policies already at every level. In place.
Absolutely. And so that we can move on to the really good stuff before we run out of time. The last thing is, you know, this is not the final chapter. I couldn't think of better language for it, but, you know, we all recognize that, you know, we're still a PDP. The recommendations that we come up with will be taken to the next level at a PDP, and then, you know, the torch will be carried on, so to speak. So really the takeaway here is while that formalized process is going, we shouldn't let that stop us from getting better. And so however we do it, we should somehow communicate out to the community that there are activities going on. Perhaps, you know, maybe we should start adopting some of these practices until the formalized process can catch up.
Yeah, we could start. We could just cite some of the good policies, or, you know, things that we think are pretty complete in the report that we do.
And so that takes us into the recommendation section. I think this is going to probably take us long for the rest of the hour. So there's basically four recommendations here, and I tried to break them apart or isolate them in a way that if we chose not to adopt one, it wouldn't affect a prior recommendation. So recommendation number one is to create the APB. I don't think it's a requirement for us out of this sub-team to specifically come up with what the actual APB would look like. I think that would really fall in line with the formal PDP, but my intent here was to walk away with an example so that people have the idea of what we should be doing. And so I'll definitely be forthright in all of this. This is stolen material, so to speak. The structure of recommendation one is basically trying to create the APB on what exists out there, and this is exactly from Adam's presentation and taking a little bit of what we did as the RAP working group. And so, you know, the APB consists of two areas, basically defining what abuse is and then having had that definition of what abuse is to also incorporate the proper indemnification to combat the said abuse. So section one, definition of abuse.
Barry, this is James. Can I jump in here real quickly?
Yes.
Not to take away from, you know, the value of this section, but I would say that I think it reaches a bit too far in that it's I think that what we want to do is define the boundaries of what a APP PDP would look like, and really not necessarily dive into the heavy lifting of writing that charter, generating an issues report, and actually, you know, hammering out their deliberations for them, and possibly this element of our recommendations could also include something to the effect of, you know, where does this go? Does it go into a PDP? Does it go into the next iteration of the RAA? Because there's a working team underway now for that, and can we consolidate them so it's not coming in four, you know, redundantly coming in four or five different directions? So I think that without taking away from the value and the effort that went into this recommendation, I think that it's going quite a bit further down the road than I'm comfortable with. If we're going to call for a new PDP, and then we can maybe give them a few baseline arguments, and then, you know, kind of set them up as opposed to doing their work for them.
This is Mikey. What if we tempered the stuff that starts at definition of abuse and put a big headline on it that said, I don't know, example, or
I see where you're going, Mike. Yeah, that was my intent here is, and James, I would, you know, I guess this was kind of the downside of me dreaming this up in isolation, because I don't necessarily have the overall context of prior pre-PDP or PDP efforts. My intent by recommendation one was to frame up an example so that people could take that further.
And I don't think anyone has any experience with a pre-PDP. It's a unicorn animal that's never existed before. So, not issued as a criticism, but more of just a concern that whenever we go too far down the road of what a PDP should and ought to be doing, we limit their deliberations and their possible outcomes. Or we could bundle this whole thing up alternatively and say a recommendation that we take this text that you have here and say this is something that the RAA working group should be considered for the next version of that document, and that it shouldn't be pursued as a PDP. I mean, that's another alternative that we could recommend.
Right. This starts to lead into recommendation two, which gets into the scope, deployment scope of this. If we only just if we only recommended that some of this goes into the RAA working group, then that prevents us from trying to force change at the registry agreement level and or the RRA level. So my guess is that either some sort of PDP/consensus policy would have to be created to affect change at that level. Yes?
I agree. That's a good point. Also, there's no reason to kick more work over to the RAA working group when we've been focusing specifically on this section of the registration agreements at all various levels.
We
have had a pre-PDP with domain tasting, and it was very useful. It made the PDP go a lot faster because we had already done a lot of factual work and recommendations in the report from the ad hoc group, as it was called at the time.
Okay, fair enough. I wasn't clear on what type of a group that was. But I think my point is that a lot of these recommendations, if you look at the list of things that are being proposed as candidate modifications to the RAA, a lot of those could be wrapped up under one umbrella of, let's create this this baseline, and let's use those other elements, which right now are somewhat standing in isolation, and see if they can't be built in as baselines. So I agree with you, Mike, about not, overburdening that working group, but I think that there's a way to consolidate a lot of these efforts that are coming from a lot of different directions and put them under one banner and kind of get them organized.
Well, I'm all for doing it as efficiently as possible. I just I don't want to lose the scope of this effort either, or narrow the scope of this effort. That's all.
Okay, so... I've
got another angle on all this. Now that you've got your cool picture, it sort of smacks me in the face with the number of contracts that are involved in this. Do we really just want to focus on one kind of contract when we make these suggestions? I mean, in a way, a lot of these should probably be aimed at the RRA, the RA, hard to say on the phone, but one of the things that might be useful is sort of back off a little bit on the detail of the recommendation, because I do sort of agree with James that we don't want to get too prescriptive, but also lay out a roadmap that says here are the agreements that probably need to have some sort of minimums incorporated in them, and the kinds of minimums that are appropriate for each. Now that's, in a way, broadening the charter of this subteam, because I think we started out just looking at one kind of contract, and we're up to...
Only in terms of dispersion, but I would say that our scope has always been the other contracts as well. So, but let me state this: recommendation two is exactly about the deployment scope. And let me put this in the simplest terms or for me to digest is the way I see this, and this is just Barry speaking, this is nothing to do with anything else going on. Personally, I believe that the example, if we could flip the light switch tomorrow, the example that we have listed in recommendation number one is basically a subset of what is already existing out there that either .org or .info are doing that gives them authority, so to speak, to move forward with whatever their best practices are. Personally, I don't, and I'm not a contracts person, but I don't see any reason why this example in recommendation one couldn't be pasted across every in-scope agreement, whether it be the RA, the RRA, the RAA, or the little RA, because it's so general that it doesn't, I think that it could apply to every contract. And so to me, if we could flip the light switch on tomorrow, those provisions would wind up in all four agreements tomorrow, and I don't think any of us would be worse off, any more the worse off. So the idea about recommendation two and the reason why I split it apart from recommendation one is let's create the baseline, or, you know, let's recommend that a baseline be created. The second recommendation is, well, what is the scope of this deployment? Should it only be just the registration agreement, or should we try to attack all four contracts? Personally, I would say we should try to attack all four contracts. If that is accepted, then to accomplish that, we would have to go through probably a myriad of approaches, and that is the formal PDP, that is attaching on to the RAA working group, and probably maybe one other avenue of some sort of formal consensus policy or something along those lines. So to kind of bring this together, I agree with you, James, as well, that perhaps the way recommendation one is worded is going too far. So I would like to attach some language in there that kind of defines the boundaries of what a PDP should look like around this minimum baseline, and that I'll restructure the language so that recommendation one is merely as an example of what we think that it should be like, but it by no way says that this is what we should do. Is that fair?
I think, this is Mikey, I think that the first paragraph of recommendation one could step outside, you know, could be just a recommendation. And then when you get into the detailed stuff, cast that as an example.
Right, right.
I think that we're all pretty agreed that the recommendation is right. It's just the specificity of the example that needs to be backed off a little bit.
James, you're good with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, good deal. Okay, so I think one thing that I forgot to mention, there's two other boxes below this level of consensus and minority views. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that we'll fill those out with the larger work group. Yes?
Makes sense. Hopefully we won't have any minority group views in this one.
If we do, there'll probably be very few.
If we don't, I will volunteer just so we do.
and this is Marika. Sorry for joining late. But the idea would be once we have all the text for all the documents, of course, that, you know, hopefully the whole report will be a consensus document, and indeed we might need to pull out certain parts if indeed there's no, you know, different level of consensus. But normally we'll all be integrated into one report, and hopefully that will be the consensus view.
Okay, great. Thank you, Marika. Okay, we're 2 minutes over. If you guys will just spare me another quick 3 minutes, and then we'll conclude and then take this offline. Recommendation three, basically, We haven't really discussed much about this, and this is definitely on the table, but I'm curious if we shouldn't also, in the world of abuse, and maybe this is probably even outside of the scope of our team and probably more for the larger working group, but one of the things that seems to be lacking in all of this, and we've seen it in other working groups in terms of those working groups trying to find data about the abuses out there, is there's really not a consistent way for abuse complaints to be reported on, and certainly there should be some sort of consistency or predictability from a registrant's perspective and how to, and registry or registrar's perspective to report abuses that they find out there. So my intent here was just to say that, there seems to be a gap out there across the industry in how abuses are reported and specifically how the market participants are brought in. We'll take this offline as to whether this should be included or not, but that was my intent here. Just let me know whether it's in or out of scope if you think. Then the fourth recommendation real quick is, which again is equally on the table, but kind of back to our principle, recognizing that there's a lot more formalized effort that is to be done through PDP or whatever other avenues, there shouldn't be any reason. The fourth recommendation is that there really should be a case study taken or performed against what affiliates and PIR are doing, so that we understand from not only a contracts perspective, but what are they actually executing against, and what are they doing out there to mitigate or fight those abuses. And then there needs to be a cost case structured around that, and then that needs to be disseminated to, the industry participants to go start taking this up on their own and not wait around for us. So that was the intent behind recommendation number four. So, again, offline, if you could just say whether you like it or not, and we'll either scrub it or expand on it. Lastly, which we don't have time for, is this questions to complete section. What I tried to do here is compile through all of our various emails and stuff from either Greg or both internally and or questions for the larger work group is, we still got some kind of open questions here, so I would appreciate some help in maybe trying to answer some of these. Really, some of this comes from the fact of that previous presentation. So my intent here is I just want to make sure that we get some sort of answer to these that could influence the remainder of the document. Once we get them answered, this section will probably be pulled. Lastly is just the appendices section, and what I tried to do here again is separate it out between kind of the four main categories. Appendix 1 and Appendix 2, again, reference back to the issues report because there's plenty of material in there that speaks to the dispersion found in those arenas. Appendix 3, again, is just some quick blurbs about the RAA dispersion, and I certainly welcome comments there. Lastly, Appendix 4, which is mostly the research that we performed here by across the registration agreements, and you'll see that's highlighted yellow a lot. So my intent there was kind of bring some of the materials from the presentation that we had and attach it into here and expand on it based on feedback when we gave the presentation to the overall working group prior to that. So to bring closure to this, I'm going to spend about another hour or so to incorporate the notes from this call, make some other quick minute changes, and I'm going to send out a draft here in the next hour or two. I do ask that everyone, if you can give me some more of your comments through Redline, just send me your thoughts or anything back, or if you want to talk on the phone, give me a call. That works as well. By Friday noon, I'd like to try to have all of any comments or feedback back so that I can bring those into the next draft. And again, just to meet the deadline, I want to get the draft posted up onto the wiki for this call.
This is Mikey.
Okay.
You know, first off, kudos again. I think an hour is too quick. My suggestion would be that you wait till you've got the MP3 of this call, and then listen to your words as you described each of the sections. Because I think that the words you spoke often fleshed out the words that are on the page in a way that would be really helpful. The words on the page, once I heard what you said, made tons of sense to me. But there were some sentences in almost every case in the words that you said that weren't on the page. You might want to...
I'm so confused.
I'm confused.
Oh, by the way, you're confusing me too, but I got to run to another call, guys, so we'll talk to you all later. Thanks,
okay.
Barry.
Yeah, see you, Mike. And I kind of have to drop off here as well, but I think good work, and I look forward to the next draft, and I think hopefully the second draft I'll be able to spend a little bit more time with it than the 8 minute skimming that it got, and please don't take that as a slight to your work. It's just that I'm spread very thin these days, and I just everything's competing for eyeball time, so I apologize for that.
Oh, no worries at all. Understood. And further to the point is, I think we've got till mid-December roughly to finalize this overall draft. So I'm just trying to meet. But
one other question was there was a thread going around about SLAs regarding who is certainly not part of this subgroup. So, I think it did discuss whether that should be included in contracts, and I had some thoughts on that, and I'm just trying to think of where the most appropriate part to raise those
I
would be.
In Greg's who is he's got a little who is uptime sub-team evolving on the list that I signed up for, and Rod signed up for. Maybe it goes in there.
Sounds good. Or if I can raise the issue on the list then, and then maybe have a trusted advocate like yourself, Mikey, run with it. But I got to drop off, gentlemen. It was great. Great work as always, Barry, and I'll keep an eye out for the next draft.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Okay.
Thank you, Marika, Gisela, Margie. Any other last comments before we hang up?
Just a fabulous job. Way to go.
Thank you, Mikey. All right, thank you, everyone, and take care, and we'll talk on Monday, and you'll see emails from me in a little while.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Barry.
Bye.
Thanks, Terry.